Well, today we continue our journey through the book of Hebrews, which has been a real blessing for me just to continue to study a book that so beautifully ties together the Old and the New Testament and the revelation that the Old Testament has been subsumed by the New Testament in that Jesus Christ has come and fulfilled all of the Old Testament through his life, death, and resurrection. It's a beautiful picture. When I was coming out of this sinful time of my life between the ages of 19 and 24, as I ran hard and fast away from God, as God began to work that revival in my heart, God led me to a church in Hopkins, Minnesota. I was really thankful for that place because the pastor had also come out of like a similar background where he could kind of give me really good advice and he could relate with the things that I was struggling with. And I was really grateful for how the Lord brought me to him. The thing that started to develop in me, though, was like this unhealthy view of him. I pretty much thought he was perfect. I thought that he couldn't make any mistakes or sin really ever. And the first time that he offended me, I was devastated. And I totally kind of set myself up for that. It was really my own fault. If I looked at Scripture clearly, I knew that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that leaders in the church just aren't perfect. But that can happen. So many times we can have an unhealthy view of our church leaders. And as the writer of Hebrews kind of focuses us and try to get our attention, as he begins in this chapter to chip away from a pride in our heart, sin that exists that's causing us, you know, to walk in a way that the Lord would not want us to walk. And as he chips away at that, he also chips away at unhealthy perspectives for the leaders of the church, the house of God, and the builder of the house, the great triune God of creation. So join me in turning to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to look at 1 through 6. And so anytime you see the word therefore, you have to kind of ask what the therefore is there for. And so as Paul's beginning to, well, the writer of Hebrews, I should say, is beginning to create an argument for what he's going to talk about in chapter 3, he reminded us that Jesus is the one who now speaks to us. And many times and in many ways, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. But in these last days, God speaks to us through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the special messenger that fulfills that prophecy that we heard in Deuteronomy chapter 18, the one that God would raise up to and through the nation of Israel, and the one that would come and not only provide salvation, but to speak God's word in clarity and in truth. Jesus is that person. We were encouraged in chapter 2 to pay much closer attention to who the triune God is and how God has chosen to reveal himself through Jesus Christ. This is important. The importance of Christ being fully God and fully human. These difficult things that we sometimes wrestle with to understand or to comprehend, but maybe the best thing we can do is apprehend what the Word of God teaches us and continue to describe Christ, not fully, totally understanding or comprehending that. Jesus is above all things. He is not only the great high priest, he's not only the prophet who God rose up and fulfilled, he is also our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is crowned with more glory and honor than anyone else. He is the creator of all things. And as the writer of Hebrews now turns the corner and says, therefore, not only has he established that Jesus is above the creation, above angels whom he created, and all of the heavenly hosts whom God, Jesus, as part of God, created, now we look at the builder of the house, God himself, and how we are to ascribe much more glory and honor to the builder of that house than the house itself. And so please stand at the reading of God's holy word. We're going to be looking again at Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, reading in Christ's name. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted more worthy, or worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of the house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we who are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Lord, I thank you for this text, and I thank you that you have preserved it through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I do pray that every single word that proceeds from my mouth is from you, according to your holy word and the power of your Holy Spirit, and not from myself. Jesus, I pray that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise. I pray this in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, you may be seated. And so as the writer of Hebrews turns the corner and wants to begin to speak about our pride, about the sin that really kind of causes us to not have the relationship that God wants to have with us, he begins by having poking in this area of having an unhealthy perspective of the leaders of the church versus Christ Jesus himself. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, you who share in a heavenly calling, that's salvation in Christ Jesus, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of the house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. And so Jesus, again, is that special messenger, the apostle. That Greek word that's translated in our text as apostle literally means special messenger. Hebrews begins that way in chapter 1, verse 1, long ago. And many times and in many ways, God has spoken to our forefathers through the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is our great high priest, and not only is he our great high priest, he is the prophet, the one that was promised through the Old Testament, the one that would come to and through the nation of Israel to speak God's truth. I was always enamored with the conversation that Jesus has with Pilate as Jesus was about to go to the cross of Calvary. And that conversation is actually quite telling and reveals quite a bit about humanity. In John chapter 18, and we look at verse 37, Pilate asks Christ an important question as he's trying to examine him and figure out why in the world he was even brought before him. Because as he said multiple times, I find no fault in this man. Why do you want me to put him to death? Put him to death yourself. Pilate really didn't want anything to do with him. But he asked him this question, so are you a king? Jesus answered him in this wonderfully profound way. You say that I'm a king, and for this purpose I was born. And for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. As Jesus is this high priest who brings God's word to God's people, this special messenger, Jesus came to bring the truth. Now, Pilate's response actually kind of mirrors the response of most people. Pilate asks the question, what is the truth? And then he turns and he walks away, doesn't wait around to hear Christ's answer at all. Isn't that an interesting thing? Many times we say we want the truth, but we're unwilling to see the truth. I have said this before, and I really wholeheartedly believe this. It's my conviction that the greatest fear of humanity is the truth. Because the truth exposes who we are without Christ. The truth exposes us that we are born sinful and fall really short of the glory of God, that we're born in need of a Savior. This is the message that Jesus came to not only bring, but also to provide that way of salvation, that means of salvation through his life, death, and resurrection. So he is this special messenger, this great high priest who has spoken to us through this wonderfully beautiful new covenant that has been brought into reality through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, in a little while longer, the writer of Hebrews kind of gets into this contrast of the old and new covenant. And even though that's part of our text, that's not the point in which he's directing us toward. He wants us to focus on the author and the perfecter of our faith. He wants us to remember that, yes, Jesus is the writer of the new covenant, but more than that, Jesus is worthy of more honor and glory than any part of the house. What's really interesting, as I came out of that life that I told you about at the age of, between the ages of 19 and 24, I ended up building houses for 3 years, and it's interesting. And it's funny because at that time, you know, I was still a pretty young man, but relativism was really kind of a big thing. And what I mean by relativism is that, well, your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. You know, And that truth is this flexible, moldable thing depending on your perspective. And it's interesting how foundations of buildings are never approached that way, are they? There's one way to build a correct foundation, or that house is going to fall. That's why Jesus reminds us, build your house upon the rock and your house will stand. And Jesus is the cornerstone of that foundation. It's the anchor. It is the sure paradigm by which God builds his house. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through Christ. That's why Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, because Jesus is the builder of the house. Moses is a part of the house. May we always look to Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith, and may we do so in a way that's healthy, that we may be inspired by the part of the house, because you can be inspired by Christian leaders, right? But to never have an unhealthy perspective, to always look to Jesus as that author and the perfecter, as the cornerstone of the church. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The final thing that we see in our text is that God's church, his people. The church and God's people is the house that God is building. Now, this may just kind of seem like an obvious thing. You know, some of you might have even said in your head, well, duh, you know. But when we see things in light of how Scripture reveals it, I think sometimes we take this calling, this privilege, this honor a little bit too much for granted. Well, sure, we're God's house. The writer of Hebrews continues in verse 5 and 6 and says, now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. And can I tell you that things that were to be spoken later were spoken by Christ, were brought to realization through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that were brought to fulfillment through his life, death, and resurrection. And that's what Moses was serving. Moses was a character in Old Testament scripture that pointed forward to something greater, that pointed forward to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews continues in verse 6 and says, but Christ is faithful over all God's house as a son. And so there's a unique relationship here. Moses was a servant called by God. Moses was a servant as part of the house, but Jesus is the cornerstone of that house. I love how Paul fleshes this out in Ephesians chapter 2. I think it's a beautiful portrait that really adds to the text that we're looking at today. In Ephesians chapter 2, if we begin in verse 17, Paul writes this as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit. And he came, Jesus came, and he preached peace to you who were far off and to peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. I love what Becky said in that video, that the building is not the church, is it? You are the church, the believers in Christ Jesus. God is building his church through transformed lives through the power of the gospel. Paul continues in Ephesians chapter 2, continuing on in verse 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And so the writer of Hebrews is trying to really get our attention. And not only should we remember who God is, that God is omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's everywhere, he's all-powerful, he is the builder of all things. He is the one who spoke the universe and everything in it into existence by the power of his word from nothing. He brings order out of chaos. He brings life where there is no life. He brings hope where there is no hope. This is the beautiful privilege that the church has. Amen? To preach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ with and without words to every single person that we come across. To be that priesthood of all believers that Christ has called us to be walking, talking billboards for Jesus Christ, not because we have to, but because we get to in the freedom of Christ Jesus, and hopefully because we want to as an act of worship. And there's a difference, isn't there? As we rest and trust in the freedom and the victory of Christ Jesus, our great high priest who offered himself as the perfect sacrifice for sin. We see the great lengths and we acknowledge the great lengths that God went to in order to save us. And not out of a sense of guilt and shame, but out of a sense of awe and wonder, in our hearts we should cry, wow, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And through that gratitude and that thankfulness and through the birthing of this huge picture that explodes the magnitude of God's saving grace, we, as the house that God builds, have the honor and the privilege to proclaim this wonderful message. And so Christ is worthy of more glory, more honor. He is the builder of the house. He has a unique relationship to the Father. He is the one that was sent, that special messenger, to provide salvation through his life, death, and resurrection. And we are a part of that message. Believers in Christ Jesus has been brought from death to life. Believers in Christ Jesus, as Jesus is our great high priest, has brought us into a living relationship with the Father because of what Christ has done. He's poured out the Holy Spirit, and we are this house that God is building where the Spirit of God dwells and can be experienced within the life of the congregation. That's why we took so much time and talked about hospitality and how it's so important to minister the saving love of Jesus Christ through our hospitality, through welcoming those who God calls to this wonderful congregation, this wonderful privilege that we have as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, hopefully, we're reminded as we think about Christ as the high priest, Christ as the great prophet, and Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where is that kingdom that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? It's here already and not yet, isn't it? The church is God's wonderful embassy of the eternal kingdom of God. And as people step into the doors of Hope Lutheran Church and different churches around the world and into various missionary endeavors and the ministries that God calls people to, we are the place where the Holy Spirit dwells and is experienced as part of God's people. We are the house that God builds. That's why it's really an honor. And as the writer of Hebrews continues on this chapter, as we're going to see next week, he begins to chip away at the things that distract us from that calling, the things that distract us from being those walking, talking billboards for Jesus Christ, those things that allow hardness of heart and pride to creep in. And he begins to talk about the people of Israel as they were pulled out of the land of Egypt by God's righteous right arm, by God's saving grace. And they grumbled and they complained. His salvation wasn't good enough for them. His provision of manna wasn't good enough for them. His provision of water wasn't good enough for them. They grumbled and complained. And I hope that we can see ourselves in the children of Israel, because we too oftentimes grumble and complain, don't we? There's this great question, this great statement, rhetorical. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, as so many people do. He gets to that later on in this chapter, but that's what he's getting to. In 1 Corinthians, as Paul was trying to address some prideful issues in the church of Corinth, he says in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, one says, I follow Apollos. One says, I follow Paul. The other says, I follow Cephas. And Paul kind of gets in their face in a very loving way and basically says, was Paul crucified for your sins? And of course, the answer is no. And then he says, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. And he's trying to chip away at that pride. I think it's healthy for us to be inspired by church leaders. I do. But if we take even Luther's writings or Calvin's writings or any other person in early church history, if we take those writings as too high, if we raise that person up to an unhealthy perspective that competes itself with Jesus, that's what the writer of Hebrews is chipping against. We are always to look to Jesus. It's not that we don't learn from Luther or from Calvin or from some of these other people in church history. We are to learn, but we always come back to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We always come back to the Holy Word of God, which is our anchor and our light in a dark place. And Jesus is the special messenger that has brought that forth. He is the Word made flesh that entered into our mess and provided salvation to any and all who call on the name of Christ for the salvation of their soul. And I hope that in our hearts we're saying amen and hallelujah. Because we can't earn it, we don't deserve it. And if we're willing to see in the mirror of God's word our hopelessness without Jesus, that we are absolutely and utterly helpless, that we are truly dead in our trespasses and sins, and then we can exceed the extravagant nature of God's saving grace because he has raised us to new life. He's brought hope where there is no hope. He has brought life where there was no life. He has raised us spiritually from the dead, and he has placed us into a proper relationship with the Father. We are clothed in Christ's righteousness, and we can remain in that relationship because Jesus is our great high priest, who not only brings us the word of God, but goes on to the Father's behalf for our account. He prays for us, as it says in Romans chapter 8. Can you imagine? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is praying for you right now at the right hand of God. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And so I hope that the extravagance of God's grace is birthed in your heart this morning. I pray that all of us would leave here just so grateful what Christ has done and that he has brought us to new life. But if there's any single person under the sound of my voice where that miraculous transformation of salvation hasn't taken place, I echo the words of the writer of Hebrews. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as so many people do. Look to Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith, who willingly went to the cross for you and for me, and he endured that shame that was placed upon him, and he did it willingly. Why? Because God so loved the world. So may we leave here singing his praise today. May we leave here glorifying the name of Jesus that is above every name, because he is worthy of more honor, glory, and praise than anyone else. Because he is the one who is that special messenger that has brought salvation and that has proclaimed salvation through his life, death, and resurrection. May we worship him all the days of our life, and may we truly look to him as the author and the sustainer of our faith. And may we do so, not because we have to, but because we get to, and hopefully because we want to, because of what he has done for us. Amen. Lord, I thank you for this text and this wonderful message that Jesus is our high priest. Thank you for waking us up that we sometimes have unhealthy perspectives of human beings that get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. May you put that into balance, into a biblical perspective for us. May we not look to this human person's writings too much or this human's writing person too much. May we always look to the infallible, the inspired and inerrant word of God. May it always be our anchor. May it always be the lamp in a dark place, guiding us, leading us to the cross of Christ, strengthening us and preserving us to that faithful day where Jesus will come again with glory and power to not only judge the living and the dead, but to bring those who are his home to live with him for all eternity in a place with no more sin, a place where death is no more. May that give us hope. May it give us strength. I pray this in Christ's precious name, and all of God's people said,